I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff. It's a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things.
I wanted to say something about deep Vs. Don't you? I keep getting... Yes. When you're talking about the, you know, the sort of the cut of the neck...
You're talking about jumpers, not engines.
So, well, this is the thing. Every time someone mentions a deep V, I mean, I know you and I, amongst our DMs, WhatsApps and things, we talk about deep V garments frequently.
Yes.
I always get it mixed up with the hot V of the Mercedes V8.
I was going to say, the hot V, every time I read that about an engine... I always somehow think of deep V jumper.
So do I. It's not
I
just
accused
me, then.
Someone of wearing a deep V the other day, and they got very offended.
They're a deep V denier.
We went out for lunch for a friend's birthday, and so there's a load of us in the pub, and the guy sitting opposite me, who I've met before, very nice chap, but he'd hooked his sunglasses onto the front of what was quite a sort of loose-fit T-shirt.
Okay,
and
it
was
plunged.
Pulling it down
quite
a lot, and someone next to him went... Ooh, he showed a bit of chest there, and he was like, oh, I know, it's my sunglasses. He took them off, and the neckline sprang back to be a round neck in the place it should be. And I went, oh, God, I thought you were wearing a deep V. And he went, what?
Really?
Why would I wear a deep V? Who do you think I am? I would come to the pub for lunch wearing a deep V. And he was genuinely affronted by it.
So hang on, he's suddenly like, oh, I thought you were sort of like you're aping the front end of an early Volkswagen Type 2 transporter. But actually,
yes, or the grill of a modern Alfa Romeo.
Oh, of course. Alfa grill matter. Neckline.
Yeah.
Yeah, or even the lesser known Edsel. It could be kind of... I always think that hot V, like we were saying, the Mercedes V8 turbo design, engine design, it sounds like a pastiche rock band like Steel Panthers or, you know, like The Darkness. You can imagine them supporting The Darkness. Oh, hot V. It's hot V. It's there's a sexual undercurrent that you're not quite sure of.
You say, hot. Is hot V rude? Is that a rude thing?
Yes. Or,
but there's some...
Sort of thing my
mum
would say.
Flying V guitar, isn't there? The Gibson Flying V is that sort of...
70s metal, 80s metal, glam rock era probably. Did it come out in, I reckon?
Or was it post-glam rock? I always associate it with... I think it's been around for quite a while, but I associate it with sort of 80s cheese rock.
I can't stand the Gibson Flying V. Can I just say that?
it's a cheesy,
it's
sleazy
awful.
Guitar, isn't it?
It's very... Yeah. Would you rather? Can you imagine wearing a deep V playing a flying V? It would just be all kinds of horrible for me. It would make my skin crawl.
And remember that conversation we were having on WhatsApp the other week about, because I wanted to use your opinion on what are the sleaziest wheels of all time.
Yeah, I forgot about that conversation.
Because it's easy to say slot mags, and they are a solid... Solid contender.
They are, but it's also the name of them, the slot mag.
Yeah.
Again,
the slot mag is
sexual
undertones. Hot V.
The Wolf Ray slot. Yeah, okay.
The Wolf, yeah.
Wolfie slot. Yeah, Wolfie slot. In Wolfie fact, he's slot. The front man of Hot
of,
V.
Of Hot V.
Isn't he? Wolfie slot.
I think he is. Because I think I said to you, I think the sleaziest wheel is actually not an alloy, it's a steel wheel. It's those 8-spoke Wellers that you often see on aging Land Rovers, like series Land Rovers that have been modified.
Yes.
But when they used to put them on road cars as well, sort of back in the 80s and 70s, they're a wrong'un wheel, I think.
wrong and rims, yeah.
But I do think maybe the slot mag is, because I do and don't like slot mags. Like,
I'm digging a slot mag.
You had them on your.
I had them on my
flex capacitor.
Yeah, I did, and I thought long and hard about rim choice, and I had to go with has to be lightweight and well made, but also retro. And genuinely, Wolf Ray slot mags were a very high quality alloy wheel. They were lightweight and they were well made. But they don't work for everybody. They don't work for everybody. And I do think on a certain car, like you say, they are a bit slaggy.
They are the deep V of wheels.
are the deep V. Do you know what?
Sort of trying to be sexy, but there's something a bit off about them.
It's almost like they're the sort of what leopard print mini skirt of the.
Yes, yes. It's amazing they never did a leopard print slot mag.
Oh, that would be so
that
sleazy.
You could put on a Mark III Cortina. That's a Mark III Cortina on slot mags. Is
it's Reader's Wives. Like, it's the car equivalent.
Oh, it is. That's
Reader's
exactly.
It's
good. There's something dirty about it.
No offence to Reader's Wives, obviously, but I think that ship has sailed. While we've been giggling about Hot V, etc., and sleazy slot mags, I've actually just looked up the history of the Gibson Flying V, and apparently, I think it came out in 1958. It first appeared in 1958.
Wow!
But I don't think it took off then. I think it was sort of first invented, and they might have like brought it back when the world was ready for it.
What the fuck is that? And then. Because, yeah, I don't remember... Now, someone's going to correct us on this. I don't remember, like, the Beatles having a Flying V. Maybe they did.
The Kinks the Kinks showcased a Flying V on Top of the Pops in 1965, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah. Why do we always talk about music? This is not even a music podcast.
I don't know.
Stupid.
I know. We're pushing our luck, aren't we? But well, can I do a music plus cars thing? Because
as long as it involves deep V,
hold my hand on this one. It's going to be okay.
Okay.
Well, no, it's just something that I wanted to. I think you've seen this as well, but I wanted to read it out because it amused me. It's just that I know we're going to go and mention "I Drove All Night" by Roy Orbison again for the third week running, but because I know
you still driving.
You were laughing about the fact that I drove all night, and the person he's gone to meet going, but you only live like 5 miles away. Why did you drive all night?
What on earth happened? Yeah.
Well, a patron of ours who calls himself J993T, intriguing name, J-Reg 993 Turbo, maybe?
Oh,
in which case you're sitting on a fortune, my friend.
You are.
He says, I assume it's he, I don't know. It could be. He was the vigilante.
Era, or is it Bad Boys?
He's the guy who did the returning of neighbour Zafira to stock. He says I was the vigilante return to OEM Zafira exhaust man. So,
okay.
There we go. It's a bloke. So he says, I'll be brief. My sister just told me something she did when she was younger. She missed her junction on the M25, so she just went round again. She knew it was circular, but had no idea of scale. And by the time she'd realised, she was pretty much halfway around. So just carried on.
Did she think this was like a large roundabout?
Yeah,
can you imagine? It's like the Paris periphery.
It's like a ring road. It's a ring road. So,
she went all the way round again. To orbiting London. She knows that, doesn't? No, she didn't know that. But it does orbit Greater London.
I'm in the patron messages, and I also Charlie Bird. Now Charlie's been in touch before, and remember his dad was the one who used to do sneaky road rally stuff in rented cars.
Oh yeah.
Charlie got in touch of the week, and we managed to ignore his message or overlook it. We did read it, and I did watch the clip. Charlie races. He was racing at Silverstone at a BRSCC meeting in a BMW M3. He won the first of two races, and he got interviewed. They have cameras there, they film it. And the races were being televised on YouTube, as it turns out. So, having clocked this in his first race, Charlie's taking part in a second race in an ex-Aussie V8 supercar. Nice.
Nice.
And
that is
close. And he won again. So Charlie's clearly quite handy.
Yeah.
So realising, he says, on the cool-down lap, I suddenly remembered the post-race interview with some 10,000 viewers watching. As a proper venison whistle, I decided to try and cram as many Smith and Sniff references as I could into the post-race chat.
No!
But my brain was a bit frazzled after four references. Now, we can't play this because of copyright and stuff, but I will put the link up.
I need to. I haven't heard this.
I've watched it.
Is it good?
He does. He does a sneaky little on that side of things, and then he's trying... he said his brain was a bit frazzled and he couldn't quite, which is understandable because he's just been racing a V8 supercar and he's won the race.
The wheel of a hot saloon.
So I will put that link up because it is worth a watch. He does. I mean, it's just got out of the car in the paddock, and then he gets collared by the interviewer on camera, and he does manfully try and make a few Smith and Smith references. So thank you for that,
well,
Charlie.
Hang on. Could we do like a reciprocal no money exchanged sponsorship of his car? Could he put like a large Smith and Smith decal on it?
Well, I'm wondering whose cars these are, because he raced an M3 in the first race and then a V8 supercar in the second one.
He's not driving TOS, though, is he? He's not driving TOS cars.
No, gosh. I know. That's it. I mean, and he's obviously pretty useful. So I don't know. Well, Charlie, I'll drop you a note and we'll see if you put a sticker on your whatever you're racing next. Because if he keeps winning, that'd be quite good.
That would be really
good. Get on the YouTube cameras again. Anyway. What was I going to say now? I don't know. Oh, yes, I know, I had to ask you something.
Okay.
Because you just you sent me a message the other day about the Mitsubishi Jet Towel.
Did I? You don't remember.
Okay. You messaged me and you went, next time we're recording the podcast, remember to ask me about the Mitsubishi Jet Towel. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. So I wrote it down. And now it seems
I actually can't.
You can't remember either.
Did I really? Did I WhatsApp you?
Yes.
Oh, Bobbins.
You also messaged me and said, can we discuss how cute old couples look in small cars?
Oh, yeah. I do remember that it, because, weirdly, it was an old couple who looked really cute together. I was sat hurriedly eating a wrap sitting in a car the other day at some services. And an older couple, not really old, but kind of like, I don't know, let's say late 60s. They pulled in an old Mazda 2, which we've already talked about, bizarrely.
Talked about last week, yeah.
The one
that's
shaped like a fridge. And and they got out, and it was such a slow but graceful getting out of the car, checking one another were okay, then getting a coat, even though the distance from the car to the door of the services was, I don't know, let's say 40 metres less. and they sort of like, I don't know, it was just really, you could tell they were in love. They made sure they clutched hand in hand, walking from the car to the thing. And I was like, they are properly in love. It's sweet. Sweet, sweet couple. Lovely couple.
Maybe it's the Mazda 2. That's how you keep the flame alive in a marriage. Get a Mazda 2.
That's exactly what it is. Maybe it's the car for proper lovers or people in love. There's always a connotation when you say lovers. It immediately means intercourse.
We're back to, we're back to readers' wives again.
Yeah, we are. I think we did actually have a Smith and Sniff email from a listener called Robin. I think he's called Robin Smith. And he's put, this is in March. Hi, guys. Your conversation about fiberglass elongations, I think that's when we were talking about things like Fiat Pandas and Peugeot 205s in France, you know, having extra glass fiber deck.
Van backs.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's put, this conversation brought back a horror to mind. My partner and I are strange people who bought a Morris Minor 1000 as their first car in 2014, and we've daily driven it ever since, in brackets.
Wow.
Although, we are using a Nissan Pow as our practical modern car at this very moment.
Oh.
Interesting, they're living a retrospective life. That's cool.
Yeah. You must like a Pow.
I love a Pow. I've nearly bought several Pows, actually. Yeah, they are an easier car to live with than a Figaro. And more.
I've got my brother's dog here still, and she's being a dick.
Are you just some sort of like dog collector?
No, although it is hilarious having two dogs because they do just become this little dog gang. My wife's often said, we should get another dog to keep the first dog company.
No,
an extra dog.
No.
But when they're together, they are ridiculously sweet. It's because also my brother's dog is very small and our dog is very big, so they are comically...
Yeah,
they present
dog.
The same sort of image as... I put a picture on Twitter a couple of weeks ago when I got my E up. I put a picture of it nose-to-nose with my Range Rover, and the size differential is sort of somehow slightly comical, but it is replicated in my dog and my brother's dog standing next to each other.
Yeah, your dog stands tall. It's got high ground clearance,
hasn't
it?
She really does. She's basically like polar bear-sized.
Yeah, she'd never belly out over a bump, ever.
She's got incredible breakover angle. That is true, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this guy... who daily drives a Nissan Power with his wife. He said, at times we've struggled with the smallish, strangely shaped boot on the Morris Minor Saloon, and we wish we'd got a Traveller, although they were a bit more pricey by comparison. The following was probably invented for people like this, and he's enclosed a picture, which we will put on the Patreon notes and things. It's a Morris Minor with a glass fibre sort of beetle back. No, not a bustle back. I remember like bustle back Cadillacs with that horrible shape.
Yeah,
beat.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's got an extra bit, like a faux spare wheel almost, but not as good as a faux spare wheel. It's got one of those, and it's got wheel spats, which I am down with wheel spats. They're pointless.
But wheel then, spats?
Yeah, on a
on
Morris.
The back wheels?
Yeah, on a four-door Morris Minor to make it look like more like a Jag Mark 7 or something.
Yeah, what, for aero?
I don't know for aero. I don't. Yeah, maybe they're trying to... You're trying to like tuck it in a bit more, but the boot lid sticks right out and it looks like a completely different car, but allegedly made of an aftermarket add-on. He said, I'd love to get my hand on a pair of these spats. Cheers for the cast, Robin.
Now here's a question, and I feel like there's probably an obvious answer that I'm not thinking of, but why did cars of that generation and before and after taper away like that and not have the high square boot that we came to
know? Noel Gallagher's high square boots. again, another BBC Six Music style band.
It's because I don't know. No point someone went, wait a moment, if we made this taller and flatter, the boot would be larger and perhaps the aerodynamics would be better as well. And they'd never... I mean, I also wonder which was the first car to do that. I'm trying to think. What would it have been?
Yeah, that is a good question, actually, because it almost is like an enclosed dicky seat shape. Now, obviously, dicky seats on old cars, it was a peculiar idea in itself. Just put the children right at the back, precariously, on this fold-out seat arrangement where the deck of the car's so low, you could just accidentally fall out really easily. And you wouldn't know because you're so busy looking ahead and concentrate on a full crash gearbox and cable
operating brake. Lots of controls.
It's kind of... I kind of like the idea of a dicky seat, but I think it'd be a Euro NCAP no-no instantly.
I think so, yes. Hi, I'm Dicky Seat. Hello.
Dick Seat.
Dick Seat.
he's definitely an old NASCAR driver.
Yeah. Dick Seat drank the milk several times. Or is that Indian?
Well,
series,
I mean, like, if it was a British chap called Penis Chair, no one would give him another look. They'd actively walk away from him. But Dick Seat, he's in. He's a hero. Penis Chair's out.
Penis Chair. That's, yes, a less realistic name for anyone.
Really. But, anyone. It's a quick one, this. Another email to Smith & Sniff from a long time ago, from January. And I don't...
This is...
I'm
the
really
shame
sorry.
Of our email
I'm
management.
I'm so sorry. It's from a chap called Philip Lane, Phil Lane.
Yeah.
And he's put, love the podcast, guys. Always puts a smile on my face. I'm having a clear out as I'm moving soon. In fact, he's probably moved again since I've read this out such a long time ago. He said, I'm moving and I found a bag of old stickers collected over the years. I've attached a photo in case they might be of interest to Johnny. Yours if you want them. Oh, my God. He's got an on a mission sticker.
What?
He's got an on a mission sticker and a Max Power... Sorry, officer, my tax is in the post circular sticker.
Oh, my God.
And another one which says, kiss my base. this is amazing. What a treasure. You were talking about the word trove. What an absolute decal treasure trove that Phil has unlocked here. I hope he hasn't been them because I'd like them. Phil, so sorry it's taken us... almost 4 months to read this out. That's terrible of us. We are twats.
We are. But hey, listen, the thing is, it shows you, guys, is that if you send us an email and we don't read it out immediately, you're thinking, oh, they've just thrown it away. No. It may yet rear its head. So please, if you've got anything to say or anything to tell us, hello@smithandsniff.com is the email address. We do love hearing from you. We do read your emails. We just forget to read them out. So I've got another one here, actually, since we're doing this now. More recently, this was only sent in a week ago or so, but Nick Parkins picked up on, you were talking about those blue pills for man stuff
a couple of weeks ago.
Oof.
Yeah.
And Nick Parkins wrote to us and said it reminded him of when we once played a trick on my manager at a previous job. I used to work at a motorcycle breakers. It was always fun finding weird stuff in panniers and cummy holes of the bike we were dismantling. For example, an old hair comb, lube, a Johnny and a packet of blue pills.
What? No.
We then crushed a pill up and put it in the manager's cup of tea. No power bulge appeared, but he was red as a beetroot for a good couple of hours. Looking back, I'm glad he didn't have a heart condition.
No. He increased fuel flow to his manager via a cup of tea.
Yes. A chap called Andreas Fotiu, I'm sorry if I've mispronounced your name, Andreas, is a patron of ours. He said he was highly amused by the chat about blue pills. I've no idea what's in vending machine pills, but it won't be the real deal. Interestingly, Viagra was discovered by accident, as it had been originally developed as a blood pressure drug. The trial investigators found it to be moderately effective, but a great number of the older gentlemen in the study expressed an interest in continuing the pills. The marketing team at Pfizer realised they'd struck gold, and the rest is history.
Oh my gosh.
Andreas has been in touch before. He is a doctor, so he knows this stuff.
That's so much better than like how Kellogg's cornflakes were invented by accidentally putting foodstuffs through a mangle. It's way. I'd much prefer the accidental penis enlargement technique. It's just, oh my gosh, that's brilliant. I love these stories.
Well, we've got another one. Another patron called Elliot. He says a friend and work colleague of mine decided to split one of these blue pills in half and share it with his girlfriend while attending an event. This caused her to get more aroused than she had ever been in her life, as if a stage 3 remap had been applied to her stock internals.
Oh, gosh.
Lovely turn of phrase, Elliot.
Amazing.
Thank you for that. However, unfortunately for him, it made him incredibly nauseous and ultimately resulted in him throwing up everywhere and ruining the evening.
Oh.
So, a cautionary tale for...
Sexual encounters and vomit don't work hand in hand.
Vomit is never sexy.
So it's sort of like it's a 200 shot of nitrous on stock internals is what he's saying. It's not going to work really.
I think so. Elliot also says he used to be a waiter in a Marston's pub in Warrington where there was a machine in the bathroom selling these pills. They were called Blue Zeus.
Blue Zeus.
He says one day the pub received a letter from a man who purchased one of these and was complaining about the lack of effect and wanted his £4 back.
Why?
A letter. You write a letter to a pub going, "Dear pub, I didn't get a lob on as promised."
That is amazing that you went to all that effort because Blue Zeus didn't kickstart the necessary... Oh, gosh. Oh, that's really made me chuckle. Blue Zeus.
Blue Zeus is amazing.
Do you know, Blue Zeus could be the name of a Stellantis remix. Do you not think? The Blue Zeus remix.
It's very, very Stellantis.
It's uplifting, isn't it? It's got to be. It's got to be. That's going to be great. Sorry, I'm just envisaging the light show, the lasers. I'm just going to have to take a quiet moment just to figure that one out.
Since we're just doing a sort of belated shame-filled catch-up on listeners' messages, I thank you to everybody, and there have been lots of them, who wrote in or left comments on the YouTube or whatever to point out that Fast Capri that I alluded to like 3 or 4 weeks ago in a Clarkson video.
Oh, years and years.
It's still
ago.
Around. Yeah, but it's still about. Lots of people pointed out that it still exists. The guy who built it is no longer with us, but the car is in rude health, apparently.
Oh, really? Isn't it got a funny nickname, like Boo or Woo or something?
Yes, it has. Yeah, based on its number plate. I can't remember now. I know, of course, typically I can't find any of the bloody messages that told us about this. So here we go. Hang on. There's one from here. Neil Hallworth. Thank you, Neil. But he just says, "It lives." And he sent a YouTube clip, which I guess has got the... Yes, it's... It's a Cosworth engine. I think someone said it's four-wheel drive as well.
Cosworth 4x4 Capri.
And it's got brilliant nitrous and all sorts of other things. Anyway.
Do you know, fair play. When I hear about builds, notorious car builds, that have sort of outlived their builder, I think it's quite a nice legacy to leave, really, because it has notoriety. It's not famous. It's sort of infamous in the underworld. I like that about it. Fair play.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's also, if you've put, I mean, this sounds like this Capri is proper and...
proper and all that, proper.
Great care and attention to detail, proper. And so the fact that someone put their heart and soul into it and it lives on beyond them is quite sweet, isn't it?
I mean, it's brilliant. Know,
someone else gets to enjoy it, which is good. Since we're talking about cars, sort of, have you seen that new-ish Yaris Cross? So it's the Toyota sort of small, I guess it's a rival to the Ford Puma and things?
Yes, I have. It looks really good, but I haven't driven or paid it much attention.
I haven't driven it, but there's someone near us who's bought one, and so I walk past it all the time. And you're starting to see them around generally, and I agree. I think it's a nice-looking car, except the front grille.
Why does that look a bit khaki?
Well, you know that thing you can do, like you do as a kid, where you kind of wrap your lips around your teeth to look like you've got no teeth?
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm actually doing it right now.
It looks like it's doing that. It's have a look at the front of it. It'll go like that. It'll go, hang on, I'm the Yaris Cross. And you go, why are you doing that? You're spoiling your looks. Why would you do that? I'm just like that. I like moving it. Oh, no, it's stuck. I'm stuck like this now. It's bizarre. It's just the one bit of the design that sort of looks a bit off.
You're not down with it?
No, but the rest of it, I think, is quite, as these things go, it's quite a nice-looking little car, and I'm sure it's, you know, perfectly pleasant. I've nothing else to add.
Yaris Cross.
Yaris Cross. How's your Yaris? It's cross. It's very cross.
Do you know what? I was in a recent Late Break Show video I did of the Alpine, which yes. Well, I won't bore you with all the
don't
details because you
don't
just go and watch it if you want to. But I did think in the olden days, the A110, the original one, which is this one's based on, they were really successful in rally, weren't they?
Yes.
And I wish that Alpine would do an aerial nomad style, or even Safari 911 maybe coming officially. Why don't Alpine do that as an actual optional version? So you go, I don't want the low-down winged sporty version. I actually want the kind of Dakar spec.
Yeah.
Because it's a light enough car to probably be able to cope with it. You could even go down the sort of Raptor road of Fox shocks.
Oh my God!
Can you imagine long travel reserve shocks on an Alpine? It would be hilarious. Rear wheel drive, 1 ton in weight. Bloody hell! It would rip.
Hey, we could put this to. He doesn't work there anymore, but the guy who was the chief engineer on the A110. Now I can never pronounce. I think it's David Tohig, but I'm going to pronounce that wrong. He's
David. Was he called David Hot V? but it was spelt slightly foreign and different. It's not just hot with a V.
No,
Hutfi.
He led the design on that car. He also did the Zoe and the Qashqai. He's got a book out, which he's promised to send me a copy very kindly, and I'll tell you what it's like when I get it. But I'm looking forward to it. It's basically just sort of the inside story of
talented.
How cars get made, and I always find that stuff fascinating. But yeah, his baby was the A110. So, he messaged me the day to say I've got a book out. So I'll message him.
Can you message him and go,
how could you make a Safari A110? If he goes, I bet he'll have a proper clever engineer's answer there about like the loads through the shell or something that would make a, you know, a kind of full Safari rally Fox shock.
Oh my God, it would be amazing though, wouldn't it? And also
broaden
the awareness of the Alpine, because I think it's almost its biggest problem is not the car, it's just the awareness of the car. Everyone knows what a Porsche Cayman is, but how many people know what an Alpine is?
True, yes. Yeah, that is true. Did you find this when you were driving it, that people are attracted to it, but they don't know what it is?
I did, and I felt people's attitudes to it, like road manners, etc. They obviously could tell it was a sports car. It was a fire orange with carbon wing on the back. However, they didn't think you were a stroker. They were intrigued, and they were, and because it's small, it's not like trying to be macho and sort of bulgy and big. It's actually quite lithe, and I think people kind of treated me in a good way. I think in a bit of escapism, I felt like I could have been, I don't know, sort of a fit looking French chef who's just bought a slightly alternative car. I'm going to even put it out there. I'm one of the very few guys that could get away with wearing a deep V. If I was going to be do you know what I mean? It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm cooking mussels in 10 minutes' time with some fresh fennel. I'm going to wear deep V. I've been to the gym this morning and I'm ripped. I can carry a deep V off. Don't you worry about that.
It's a look to aspire to, isn't it? Like our age, possibly even a bit older, like knocking 50.
50, but fit.
But in great shape.
Tanned.
And talented and French and just basically pure girl bait. and boy bait probably.
Yeah,
as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
And
very, very
a look
thin,
to aspire to.
A thin deep V with nothing underneath. Yeah.
I think, yeah, deep V t-shirt.
Yes.
Showing off, you know, muscular arms, and he doesn't give a shit if it gets a bit of, you know, sort of garlic jus splashed on it during the cooking process, because he's got fucking loads of them. And they're like those T-shirts that cost £100 each, because his restaurants are very successful.
Oh, yeah, and they're beautifully fitted. You go, oh, wow, how do you get T-shirts to fit you so well? Well, they're £100 each rather than 12. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's the reason.
Yeah, I will stop wearing these ones that are £3 each from next.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? He probably looks like that chap Fred from First Dates, the maitre d'.
I was just going to say, what's he called?
Him.
Fred Skrillex or something.
Yeah,
he is a great example of the genre.
Well, he needs an
handsome
LP.
Handsome older French food man.
If he hasn't got one already, Fred, I'm sure you're listening to this, can you get yourself an Alpine, please? I think it would really suit you on that side of things.
What is he called? What is it? Fred...
Cyrillux.
It's not Skrillex. Cyrillux.
Electrolux.
Fred Electrolux.
Is
that funny?
Do you know,
I
follow him on social media. It is Cyrillux. Cyrillux. S-I-R-I-E-I-X. Cyrillux?
Wow.
Cyrillux?
I'd love an X in my name.
Oh my gosh, how weird. I've actually just looked up on his social media, and there's a paid partnership with him sitting in and driving the BMW i4. So peaceful and quiet. I love this. It's a dream to drive. Okay. Well, it's not as good as an Alpine. I'm just going to say that.
No, that's disappointing.
And, of course, Alpine are going to do an electric off-of crossover and all that based upon the CMF-EV platform and all that, aren't they?
Ooh, good knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, I've been saying for ages, and I'm going to keep saying it because I want to try and look clever about this, that the next big trend in sports cars is going to be safari-style things. And lo, it seems to be coming to pass, because there have been spy photos of jacked-up 992 Porsches.
Yeah.
And then there was that concept Lamborghini Huracan that was in a safari sort of style, and now they've papped, during the winter test season up in Oldenburg, they've papped a prototype of what looks like a jacked-up Huracan. So that seems like it's coming. And so, yeah, Alpine could ride that trend.
I would love Alpine to do that. Alpine, do it. I'll happily get involved on a professional level. After all, it's clearly my idea.
As opposed to what? An unprofessional level?
Yeah,
he just keeps saying shit in board meetings. Please, Johnny, please do not swear.
I think it'll be a wonderful...
I think also because... they can, as you rightly pointed out, leverage the rally heritage of that car or its predecessor. Because, it won the World Rally Championship, didn't it, in like 71 or something. So it's a proper, legit bit of history that they can draw upon, the same way Porsche can and the same way Lamborghini can't, but they're doing it anyway because they're Lamborghini. And that's all fine. I think someone else is doing one as well, or rumoured to be.
I think someone else is doing it.
It's definitely
going to
be a trend.
Tongue,
I can't
it?
Wait for the Porsche because I want to see what it looks like. I mean,
are Dacia going to do it?
Dacia?
I'd like it if they were to just do it. They could carry it off with a Duster Dakar.
Ooh.
That'd be quite sexy, actually, wouldn't it? And appealing.
Yeah,
and
it would.
Bones.
Particularly if it cost like 14 grand, because then loads of people could afford a bit of Dakar.
Dacia Duster Dakar.
I know you've seen that moon swatch that was getting people all agitated a few weeks ago. Still is, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know if
yeah.
And
I'll buy one when everyone's bored of it.
Yeah, I don't quite understand what Omega are playing at, but at the same time, I like the idea. And it's just, I hate to sort of describe a watch as fun, because it sounds a bit cheesy, but it is. It's fun. It's a fun summer watch. You get a bright blue one or a bright red one or something like that, and then...
For sure, guys, it's fun.
For sure, guys. But I sort of secretly liked the way that some watch nerds were getting really cross about it, because I was like... You need to lighten
up,
because
it's not a real Omega. It's straddling this no man's land. It's a pastiche watch, is that what you're saying?
But, I mean, it isn't. It's a swatch that looks like an Omega. And I appreciate, I saw one of the watch YouTubers say, and who ultimately was quite approving of it, but he said, what if Porsche, being part of the VW group in the same way Omega is part of the Swatch group, if they went, hey, we've got this new 911, but it's based on the Polo, and it's only going to be 15 grand, that... people would go, but that completely devalues my Porsche. And I don't think it... I don't know. We could talk about this forever, but I sort of feel like it's... I feel like Dacia doing a Dakar-style car. It's not quite the same, but it would be the affordable way into it that Porsche Safari look.
Especially when the cost of the reserve shocks is the same as the actual car. So basically, so the damping system is that good. You know, they stick O-lins on it, for example, and you go, yeah, hang on a minute, I've just bought like a 12 grand car with 8, 9, 10 grand shocks. That's amazing.
Wasn't the old... that Clio Trophy was a bit like that. It had those remote reservoir shocks on it.
It
and
did.
They were sort of half the value of the car. Or sorry, they are now.
Yeah, they are.
They're going up in value, aren't they?
Well, so they're a cult. They're a cult favourite. I mean, they're such a cool car, aren't they? They're brilliant.
We're still just looking at my notes, and I was like, I still haven't got to the bottom of what the Mitsubishi Jet Towel is.
Oh yes, hang on. No, I do. Bloody hell, man! You've jogged my memory. I do know what it is. Okay.
It's a
hand drive. It's yeah, the arch rival of the Dyson. Let's just blast water all over the floor so that an old man slips over and breaks his hip in the jet. That's funny.
Yeah, no one points that out, do they? Just sort of blows. Your hands are dry, but the room is sopping wet.
Oh, I mean, like you would you. So I went into the gents. Obviously, and I know we've talked about blue pills on vending machines and stuff. And I just
have you been spending a lot of time in men's lavatories recently?
I've done a lot of
a lot of your chat is.
I've done a lot of long distance driving, and I've tried not. I've tried not to do wild pisses, aka piss vistas, because I've actually not found interesting enough places to waz. So I've gone into services probably because I needed a drink or something anyway. And I look down at this hand dryer, and it's like oh, hang on a minute. The Mitsubishi, what's it called again? The air towel.
Jet towel.
Oh, the Mitsubishi jet towel. But you know what?
But when you messaged me and went, let's talk about this on the podcast, I assumed it was some like tiny JDM van or something.
Well, that's what it sounds. It
never crossed my mind it would be a hand dryer. I should have just Googled this at the time, but this has been a nice surprise.
The jet towel, the cool thing about it is A, it's better than the Dyson offering, but B, B, it says, from memory, in quite large letters on the top, so while you're looking down on it, putting your hands in, it says something like, in huge letters, made in Japan.
Oh.
A bit like the olden days when they'd broken the prejudice of things being made in Japan being bad, and people went, oh, actually, Japanese-made stuff means it's good, it's going to last. They've gone down that road with it, and I quite like it. They're taking the fight to Dyson, they're going, screw you guys. This is how you should have done it.
I'm on the Jet Towel website. It's funny how life turns out sometimes, isn't it? Here I am. I'm on the Jet Towel website. Now, there's some brilliant toss written on here. At the top of the page, it says, Jet Towel, become a master in the art of hand drying. And then that headline scrolls to a new one that says, Combat Noise, become a master in the art of noise reduction.
Seriously, Combat Noise. That would be written on a decal on the lower door if this was a JDM van. It'd be Jet Towel, and it would be, the art of lower noise. Maybe it's electric.
The next one is, Combat Inefficiency, become a master in the art of efficient design. And then finally, it says, Combat Mess, become a master in the art of hygiene.
Combat Mess?
Combat Mess, which sounds like a sort of rudimentary place to eat on a battlefield.
But, it does.
It's a
war
the Jet
kitchen.
Towel Slim is one of the models, which is the is apparently amazingly quiet.
I was impressed.
High speed drying from 9 seconds, which sounds very asterisky.
Oh my gosh! Again, that's a lower door decal on a JDM import.
Yeah,
that's
high speed drying.
That's amazing.
There's a request a demo button, and you click it, and a contact box pops up. So
what?
I presume you can. What do you can? Will they send you one, or do you have to go and see them?
Dear Mitsubishi, can you send Smith and Sniff a jet towel demonstrator, please? And we'll put it. Listen to it on this podcast. We'll review it.
Well, will they be able to hear it? Because apparently it's amazingly quiet.
Are we going to do some
56 decibels?
Are we doing hand drying drag racing, which is a new thing? Can you fully dry even in between your fingers? Can you fully dry your hands in 9 seconds, or can you get it lower? And we start doing the hand dry drag race. It's way better than RuPaul's silly effort. way better.
There's some very confusing stuff here. It says comfortable use due to large 6.8 litre drying area.
What?
How are you measuring drying areas? And that's the volume of the bit you put your hands in, I guess, is the size almost of the engine from an old Bentley Mulsanne.
This is ridiculous.
Antibacterial surfaces. A 0.8 litre drain tank keeps floors clear and dry. Brackets, unlike that Dyson shit that just sprays the water all over the place and allows some of it to gather until it becomes absolutely rancid and green.
That's the thing, I don't... Well. It's not being hygienic. It's shifting the hygiene problem to another department and going, oh, by the way, your floors are slimy and really, really just, wet and dangerous.
My granddad's just fallen over and broken his head open. So I don't know why I'm laughing. That's not funny.
It's not funny, but the
falling
last,
over on Dyson water is not funny. But.
The last place where you're going to need sort of professional help is on the toilet of a gents.
Now, here's something that's confusing about this Jet Towel Slim is that it says also available in unheated brackets white only.
What?
Now, unheated, so it just blows cold water.
Why?
On your...
Why though?
Yeah, why?
I don't understand.
That's going to be worse at drying, and if it's not, it's going to be potentially in a cold room. That's quite unpleasant. Blowing cold onto wet hands is going to give you chapped skin.
Oh, really chapped? I'm just looking at my own hands now, and they're very chapped.
Yeah, mine are too. It's because the temperature's dropped, hasn't it? It's just I get lizard hands.
I do. Bloody hell, Richard. And we're both left-hand drive. This is similar.
I know.
Similar men spooky problems.
Anyway, I'm glad you've highlighted the... Oh, I noticed here it says it's the new ninth generation dual nozzle flagship model.
Good. Dual nozzle flagship?
Dual nozzle flagship. Four more from them later.
This is getting so Partridge. Isn't it?
I didn't
realise.
The whole world.
Yeah.
Because I remember saying to a mate a few years ago that we live in a golden age of hand drying because there are so many of those aggressive dryers now.
Yeah.
There's the one called Air Force and like Thrust Hammer and Hand Fucker and
it's
stuff.
It's like the energy drink market about 8 years ago. Do you not think? Where Red Bull was clearly...
It's a crowded market.
Yeah, Red Bull were dominating, and other new upstarts were coming along going, do you know what? We need a slice of this synthetic drink action. What are we going to call ourselves? Like you were saying, there's a no-name in Aldi that I saw the other day, and it's called something like Blue Lightning or Blue Storm. There was a word storm or something like that. And you think
Blue
Storm.
Storm.
You go Storm. It just makes it sound like your sort of stomach's going to turn into a volatile cauldron. You're going to have to run to the lav as soon as you've downed a can. I don't want this.
Like the man who had half a blue pill and then spoiled his night with vomiting.
Do you remember I messaged you the other day and we were talking about, I think, the front end of modern-day Bentleys, and I said that I think the sort of the recently deceased Bentley Mulsanne looked very similar to Jared Leto's face.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Well, I realised that back in January, I'm going back to some very old emails that we never replied to on Smith and stuff. I'm really sorry. Someone called Gordon Barry. Gordon, again, really sorry that it's taken us 4 months to reply to you. He's put the Bentley Bentayga's designs always bug me in a deja vu way for some reason. And this picture popped up on my Google feed. And it's I'll put it in the notes what it is. But this picture popped up, and the first thought I had was, who'd spend time designing a Restomod 8th generation Corolla 3-door? Oh, wait, hang on. The Bentayga is essentially a late 90s Corolla Streetwise. And I look at it, and he's got a bit of a point. Whilst the Bentayga drives really well and it's an exceptionally well-made car, it's an awkward beast to look at. And it does and it makes me think, maybe in the same way that we've just talked about an Alpine Dakar, could Toyota just go, do you know what, let's just redo the tooling for that old gen Corolla with the sort of bright eyes, and let's just do an off-roady version. Why not? Maybe body lift a RAV4 and stick it to the Bentayga. I mean, different market, obviously.
Well, I mean,
in the same
I'm
way that Omega and Swatch aren't the same.
I won't be able to see a Bentayga now without thinking Corolla Streetwise.
Well, or
which weirdly there is a Corolla Streetwise, isn't there? Because there's again, not that I'm
what an urban
I don't
cruiser.
Know why. There's a lot of newish Toyotas in my neighbourhood, but someone a couple of streets over from me has got this jacked up Corolla wagon, which is pure Streetwise. It's got arch extensions, and again, I don't want to keep blowing it up Toyota's bunghole, but it is a good looking car as Corollas go. And I didn't really even. It's also. Were we talking last time about Kvadrat interiors,
yes,
and chamois leather seats and things? And this has got, I noticed, some kind of quite nice cloth seats rather than kind of crap leather. And it looks all right. I don't know where I'm going with that. But anyway, there really is a Corolla Streetwise, but now there is also the Bentayga.
It reminds me of that song Street Life by the Crusaders off of the 70s. Streetwise, it's the only way I know. Streetwise, for Streetwise. A nickel or a dime. Streetwise. I actually like that song. It's funky. But maybe
it is funky, isn't
maybe
it?
I would always think about, like you say, plastic clad, otherwise completely the same as the other models. Because trying to be a bit different. Polo Dune, you know the memo that we're talking about. Yeah. Okay.
Now,
Listen, guys.
You drew my attention the other week, and we forgot to mention it at the time, to something which you'd spotted on the Twitters, that the famous old pit building of the Reims circuit in France.
Oh, yeah.
You are no longer allowed to stop your car outside it to take a photograph.
No.
Because stopping along the D27, the road that it's on, has been prohibited since 11th of March.
Do you know why?
Because photos like that are an incredible cliche and everyone should have stopped doing them anyway.
Yes, it's that. It's nothing to do with road safety at all.
No, it's nothing to do with road safety at all. It's just the French were absolutely sick of every British tourist doing it. So they've gone, right, let's just tell them to piss off. I don't know.
Well, I've been there. I did it. I'm sure you've done
it. Did you?
Well,
I've never been there.
Oh, haven't you? It's actually really quite intriguing.
But didn't they paint over everything so that it didn't look very interesting anymore? I mean, obviously, it's sort of interesting because it's a historic building.
What,
but,
French
know, the sort
spite?
Of all the faded ads were quite the sort of draw. And then they just went, oh, we'll stick a bit of, brilliant white emulsion over that. That'll tidy it up a treat.
I think they were still there when I did it. I actually had to film outside it as part of a road trip feature for Fifth Gear years ago. And I was in the Britain's cheapest car at the time, the Dacia Sandero. And I remember it started snowing when we were passing that point. And while the camera guys were getting the shots we wanted, I was desperate for a wee. Mm-hmm. And I just ran off and I thought, I'll just scale this wall and have a waz behind one of those iconic walls. And I got the angle of approach wrong because the wall was a little bit higher than is comfortable, so I had to do a sort of run and run up jump, you know the one I mean?
Yeah.
And I did the run up jump and went to swing one of my legs over, and I basically caught the sharp corner of the wall on my kneecap, and I fell behind the wall, the sign written wall, and the combination of coldness and the pain, I remember I crouched down because they were filming, and I actually cried. It was that painful.
Oh my God.
I was needing a wee so badly that I crouched down and actual tears came out of my eyes because it was that painful. And then I weed while sort of crying. And it was that's my memory of that area of the Ream circuit that was.
Is that, it's one of those things where you hurt yourself, but it's accompanied by something else, be it a place or a thing or a bit of music, and you can never enjoy that thing again because your brain associates it with pain. Like, for a while, I associated the TV show Home and Away with breaking a tooth.
What?
Because when I was a student, I accidentally bit a spoon while my housemates were watching Home and Away and broke my tooth. And that's I couldn't sort of hear or see Home and Away without going, ah, my tooth.
Oh, my gosh, Home and Away.
Are they still making Home and Away?
Neighbours has been discontinued, hasn't it? A bit like the Mondeo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's the Mondeo of soap operas.
It's been around a long time. A lot of people have got memories and all that.
I don't know if Home and Away is still made, is it? Maybe not. I don't really know.
I don't think anybody cares, do they?
How do they finish soap operas? Because they're sort of continuing stories, aren't they? And it's like, but there is Brookside finished and El Dorado. I remember how El Dorado finished.
I can't remember how Brookside finished.
I don't know. I never really watched Brookside.
Wasn't it a lame plane crash, or did the screen just all go bright white and they go, and then a nuclear strike happened? Yeah.
I think they all suddenly stopped and turned and looked at the camera and went, what the fuck? Cameras. They've been filming us. They've been filming us for years. And they grabbed the camera and smashed it, and that's how it ended. Like it was the Truman Show.
That's brilliant. I remember.
It's worth a thought. Do you know what? The El Dorado ending was quite good. An Alpine A610 blew up, except it wasn't. It was a TR7.
Of course. But that links the conversation back nicely. You clever.
Doesn't it? Look at me go. Almost as if we're good at this.
I like that. That was neat. A nice little loop there. On that side. Yeah, I'm very... any interesting sort of ticks that you've come across with people lately?
Oh, apart yes, I did have one.
Because, I mean, like, that's sort of given. Yeah,
I know. My boy does that, and he's just turned 8, and he says literally quite a lot. And now our daughter has started doing it. She's only 4, and she said to my brother yesterday, she went, I was just walking across the kitchen, literally, when I dropped my drink. And it was like... Why are you saying? I mean, she was literally walking across the kitchen, but it's unnecessary to add that. And it's sort of quite sweet from a 4-year-old, but at the same time, I need to keep an eye on that because it's also bollocks.
I've got very cross with people, my family, for doing the whole constantly. I've said to the kids, right, from here and now, let's just all agree, everything is literal unless otherwise stated. Just flip it on its head. It all happened unless it metaphorically happened, in which case you can then state it. Because otherwise I'm getting a bit fucking bored of literally. All right?
Yeah.
Can we stop this now? It's daft.
That's fair enough. I did hear a tick the other day, and I thought I must mention this to you. And then I was like, I was in two minds. I was like, I don't want Smith and Sniff to just become a podcast that laughs at verbal tics, because we all have them.
Yeah, we do.
It wasn't a really sort of howling one or one that really drew the ear. It was just one where I went, okay, yeah, I've noticed people do that, don't they? And I can't remember what it was now. I didn't write it down. So it probably wasn't that good. Anyway, we should probably start to bring this one into land.
We should be on TikTok. Smith and Sniff has just
the
had an
social
email.
Media for verbal.
Do you know what? It just says, my name's... Hi, Johnny. Hi, Richard and the team. There is no other team, Derek.
Yeah.
But anyway, Derek, Mirojknik, he's emailed us. This was back in the 31st of January. I've only just checked it. It says...
Still
in
the email.
I know you're busy. I'll be brief. I work with many podcasts and businesses like yours where we help them redistribute highlight clips from their show to other platforms like TikTok. We handle all the editing, posting, engagement, etc. If this sounds like something you'd be interested in, let us know. Should we do TikTok? I mean, I'm a bit terrified of TikTok, but at the same time, there's not a lot of creativity, I don't think, on TikTok. A lot of people are sheep and they follow and copy one another. Should we just wade in there and do something awful, like Deep V, for example?
Yeah, I don't. That's the thing. I've never gone on TikTok, really. I've seen TikToks, the little videos, but I've never been on there. Do you know who's a big fan of TikTok? TV's Jeremy Clarkson.
What?
Yeah, if you see Jeremy, he's forever going, oh, well, you've got to watch this, you've got to see this thing I found on TikTok. He's like, it's where all the good stuff is, where the really funny stuff is now. Twitter's rubbish.
He's being all youth. He's being all youth.
I know, yeah. He's not on there. He's not posting videos, as far as I know, but he is just, he just loves watching shizzle on there.
Well, can you tell Clarkson from me, I want him to do some awful dancing to something like Despacito in different positions on his farm, and that will be an instant internet hit. He needs to do that.
Was that message you just read out, that was a sincere attempt to get business from us then?
Yeah.
What's that one that you or Chops sent me the other day about the bloke who was going, hello, I represent Giorgio Armani?
Yes, it was amazing.
Well, sorry.
It's amazing.
Do you? Really? Are you sure?
It's so...
I can't find it now. Yes. Oh, here it is, yeah. It's entitled Armani Advertising. Greetings. This is the Giorgio Armani Group. Giorgio Armani Fashion House was founded in 1975 by Italian designer Giorgio Armani.
No shit.
Today, even people far from the fashion world know his name. Armani specializes in the production of clothing, footwear, leather goods, cosmetic, interior items, jewelry, and perfumes. At the moment, more than 2,000 boutiques around the world are successfully operating under the Giorgio Armani brand. If you are interested in collaborating, please reply to this email and our manager will contact you shortly with details of how to proceed.
But, like, with what?
Well,
with...
I'm sold.
Yeah, it's so real. And they definitely know their market because we are prime Giorgio Armani targets.
Well, they've seen us, I presume, in our last video and gone, are they already wearing Armani? Perhaps they'd like some more. They look like Armani guys.
I think maybe... I mean, I've told you about my white Armani jeans from a local charity shop when I dressed up as Freddie Mercury on New Year's Eve once and then dropped an entire bottle of red wine on myself. I was wearing a yellow jacket with a white vest on underneath, but I just got fully pissed and I ruined these Armani white jeans. But it's okay.
There we go. I can't believe that anybody wears and gets away with white trousers because it just looks like how I'd be tense all day in case I sat on a bird shit or something.
Oh, it was an awful idea. It's an awful idea, really. And also white linen trousers, because they're ultra thin, aren't they? And women all often wear them on holiday and then don't.
Yeah.
They clearly don't check for VPLs before they go out. But
yeah, no, it's a solid lady holiday trouser.
It is, isn't it, lady? Or a guy who seems to wear them without underwear, and I don't even want to see it, but I can see the outline of his dongle. And I just...
But you only need one sporty fart, and those trousers are in trouble. And I couldn't take that risk, particularly when you're abroad. If you've been drinking the water, you never know what's going to happen.
Did you say sporty fart?
You know what I mean.
Well, basically, it's a post-curry pop bang map.
Yes. It's that.
What do you mean, like foreign food pop bang map? That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's too spicy. Oh, no. Oh, I've ruined my linen trousers. That sort of thing. I'm going to draw this to a close. This conversation and in fact the entire podcast before.
Oh gosh, that was good.
It gets worse.
On that note, foreign food, pop bang maps, before we go.
Before we go, I've got three things to tell you. They are: one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called Punching Fish, and he travels the world to lakes, rivers and seas attempting to absolutely smote a mackerel with his bare hands. If that's not up your street, then there's also the Late Break Show with lots of excellent car reviews on it. Two, I've got various books out. One of them is called Boring Car Trivia 3, and it is available on Amazon as an ebook or a paperback. Or you can get the paperback from the Late Break Show merch shop under the Smith & Sniff tab. So yeah, do go and look.
There's some great merch available, I'm just saying.
It's gone a bit lavatorial again, but I had this already planned to be the third thing to run out. That astronauts are often remembered for things they've said, most notably Neil Armstrong, of course, and what he said when he worked on the moon. Lesser-known astronaut John Young, however, he was on Apollo 16 in 1972. He's perhaps most famous for, during a mission to space, accidentally saying on an open radio channel, which could be heard by people outside of NASA, "I have the farts again. I've got them again, Charlie. I don't know what the hell gives them to me. I think it's acid stomach, I really do. I haven't eaten this much citrus fruit in 20 years. And I'll tell you one thing, in another 12 fucking days, I ain't never eating any more."
Oh, wow. So, that's way better than One Small Step for Man.
Exactly. "I've got the farts again" is inexplicably not etched onto some kind of monument at a rocket launch site. But there we are. John Young, he died in 2018, but he will always be remembered for telling ground control that he got the farts. No record of how his linen trousers fared in space.
I would always wear my linen trousers in space. It's the only place. Good, it's a space holiday trouser.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you're in space, you're not at home, are you? By definition, you're on holiday.
Oh, you're on holiday.
Although I suppose it's a working holiday.
It always looks shit when you land at a drizzly airport, I always think. The trousers should be
wearing
deleted.
A Hawaiian shirt and some linen slide trousers that you've sharted in. Okay.
Got on the connecting flight bus and someone's left something gruesome on the seat.
Okay.
A little bit of
it's
Twix.
It's time to bring this highly mature conversation juddering to a halt by saying thank you ever such for listening. If you want to drop us a note, hello@smithandsniff.com. If you'd like to throw us a few quid for this drivel, then patreon.com/smithandsniff. Yeah. And we will do this all again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye. I'm Johnny Smith. I am. Fight me. I bloody am.
I'm Johnny Smith. I'll take you all on.
Yes, exactly. You're fine.
You and all your mates.
Come and have a go.